HXS, mobile listening.
To HXS, 10-4 MFW.
Wow, you must be a clairvoyant. You knew I was out here. Good morning. KB2HXS Mobile.
Yeah, I heard you put your call out there a while ago, but I go take care of something right quick before I get back.
Heading down to Anderson this morning for a recording session. Gonna be down here a couple hours and turn around and come back. You heading to your
South Carolina to United.
You got your boots on, as it were.
I got them on. I'm sitting here in the parking lot. Waiting on the rest of the guys to get here, and then we'll have at it. You know, we were talking Monday next week doing that project. That's a holiday, so we can't do it then. We can only do it on Tuesday if they agree to it.
You know, you got lunch at Eastside Lunch next Tuesday there, Bubba. Paying for BWA.
Yeah, and I'm not available Tuesday. Shoot. All right, well, we'll talk about it on the phone later and see what we can figure out. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, Jimmy. Listen, have y'all got any extra leftover 6-inch duck laying around?
6-inch duck? You talking about flex?
All right.
Yeah, I don't either.
Well, both y'all remember that room I was putting in?
I don't know. What room are you talking about? In the garage area or up at the house?
In the man cave. Jimmy had that room extended out. Dave, I had that room extended out, and I got a, instead of a 12 to 12, I got a 13 to 24 room now. And I've already got the duck tied in. It was an extra. And I just need a piece about 12 feet long and a boot to put in. You reckon y'all could do that for me?
Well, we can talk about that. Let me see what I can come up with. What about you, Jimmy?
Next week, see what we can do. Go get two pieces 6 feet long.
Pick it up. Where would I get it from? Lowe's?
No. Lowe's. A little bit later, Jim.
One of our places, it'll be, you need 12 feet, it'll be, four pieces. three pieces. I get right here in a minute. And then that.
Are you talking about metal pipe or flex?
Flex.
Yeah, Jimmy, it's flex, not metal pipe.
About a whole box.
Box. Just go ahead and get a whole box, and that way y'all will have about 12 foot left over.
K2RCU.
Gentlemen, how y'all doing this morning?
Gentlemen? Wow, you're on the wrong repeater.
We're talking about air conditioning, and we got the air conditioning gurus. Can a leak in an outdoor coil be fixed, or is that pretty much a replacement thing?
The leak is, if it's in the coil, in the fins, let me see if I have this. If it's in the area of the fins, sometimes you can fix it, but it depends on how old the system is. If you want to put the money into it.
I got a 3/4-ton mini split that had a leak in the outdoor coil. Not exactly sure where it's at. I can see the die out on the ends of the coil there. It's not a lot, but rather than repair it, we just decided to pull it and replace it. So now I got it sitting there, and I don't know whether to fix it or just scrap it.
Scrap it.
Yeah, scrap that sucker.
Get more with it. Scrap it. Those little ends, man, you'd be sitting there forever fixing those darn things.
What I was figuring.
jump on out of here. And Jimmy, you gonna make the lunch Tuesday?
I gotta see what this little project we're working on is gonna materialize into. Right now it's a big baby.
Duct work for an entire house. House is probably 1,500 square feet. And it's a friend of ours, you know, Little Willie. From the lunch.
You were just a little fuzzy and my brain wasn't working.
Yeah, you know Chili Willie from the lunch. Okay, he's wanting to replace all that ductwork under his house. And I told him that you two guys were the ones to get after it.
I don't know if I want to do it. Cause I don't do stuff like that myself. Not unless Dave wants to do something.
Phone conversation? I'm heading down to a recording studio right now, Steve, so if you want to give me a call later this afternoon, more towards dinner time or whatever, give me a call, or tomorrow, I'll be around tomorrow, and then we can talk about it.
Okay, Buckley. We'll get after it. All right, guys.
Steve, you got to buy yourself a signal. Signal, you're barely holding a machine.
I'm out here in front of my metal building with an HT.
Oh, okay. Well, you got to get you a better signal.
I am going to do just that. I've got a pizza tower coming with a Mosley.
All I heard is something about a Mosley and you fell into the noise. I'll catch you a little later. Give me a call. KB2HXS. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Another gentleman in here with us.
Well, I wouldn't call him a gentleman, but it's K2RCL. Name's Russell.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, we don't want to leave anybody out amongst our junk that we're talking about.
Over to a little project I'm working on over in Inman. Getting down to the final stages, I hope. Try to get everything finished up and start putting some flooring down and trim it. And I hope that's it, unless they add more to it.
Getting that word around again.
I'm hoping today might be my last day over here. I'm not sure yet. Definitely tomorrow. this is just a temporary thing. Now I'm going to go back in to sitting on the front porch, drinking coffee, and watching cars go by.
I hope to get this done and do a little work on the RV. Maintenance on the RV, not that W word. And then I'm going to hold on to the steering wheel and see where I can get it to go.
The other bad word, another four-letter word, oh my God. What is this repeater coming to?
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm wanting to do next week. Sit there and get my camper ready. Because I am definitely going to be leaving Green come next Saturday.
You got a destination in mind, or you just wanting to get out of town?
A place reserved a year ago down at Myrtle Beach State Park, and I'm going to go down there and sit there for a week.
Slide down there in the ocean breeze, get some fresh seafood if you can.
I'm in your RV there, Jimmy. I like seafood.
Of it down there, that's for sure. I definitely will have some, and I will have a steak somewhere in the midst of all that. Hamburger or two and some good breakfasts. I will be whooping up some good breakfast.
Hey, darn it all, you're making me hungry.
Making you hungry, I'll tell you, if you ever get the opportunity to go up into the Inner Passage of Alaska, look for a ship in one of the ports called Miss Irene. You can usually pick up fresh salmon straight off a boat for about $5 a pound. When we were up there in Skagway, we would go down there and buy a whole fish, two big fillets, lay them out on the grill with some lemon pepper on cedar boards and cook them up. And I'm going to tell you, if you've ever had it fresh straight out of the Gulf of Alaska, you ain't going to want it store-bought anymore.
Man, you're killing me. You're killing me. Man, my wife and I, we love our seafood. Yeah, I grew up on Long Island, so I ate seafood up there, and we just moved up from Florida last year, so, you know, seafood is pretty fresh down there, too.
No doubt. There's a little guy that comes down to Greer, usually around South Buncombe and Brushy Creek down there. They call him the Shrimp Man. He usually comes in on the weekends, and he'll have head-on shrimp, about $5 a pound. And they're right at jumbo size. We went down and picked up about 5 pounds from him and cleaned them up. And I have to say, they were pretty fresh, even to be from coming out of Florida up here to South Carolina. So I was pretty impressed with it. It's a good place to get it if you want it.
A friend of hers that works in the shrimp farm down in Sebastian, Florida, and that's, I mean, they grow the shrimp there, and we get it all the time. He'll send it up frozen for us. And, man, I tell you what, there's nothing better than fresh shrimp.
Especially when Mama takes them and cleans them up and gets them ready and makes up one of them surf and turf pastas. Oh, man, I wouldn't be able to do that W word for a week after eating a big old bowl of that. I'd just be laid up on the couch, happy and smiling.
I don't want to leave you out.
Where on Buncombe and Brusher Creek does he get?
You know where the Bojangles and the McDonald's is at down there at that intersection? If you come back toward Greer, one intersection, there's a gas station there. I want to say it's an Exxon, but I'm not 100% sure. But he'll set up in that parking lot, usually in a pickup truck, and he'll have the coolers and stuff packed down in the back of his truck.
I know where he's at now. I've never seen, you know, I've been working out there anywhere for 32 years. I never did see him out there, but maybe I have over there at that gas station. I know what you're talking about now.
See, out there on Saturday, and sometimes there'll be different places. My wife follows them on Facebook to keep up with where they at, and if they come around close or she's ready for some, then we'll drive and we'll pick some up. It is exactly how it sounds, the Shrimp Man. That's how she found him on Facebook. I think a friend of hers told her about him, and she started following him, and he puts up a post where he's going to be and what he's going to have, and you just go pick it up.
Well, gentlemen, I got to jump out here. I got to get some of that high-priced, what do you call it, gas. So I'll be right back.
Okay, Dave. We'll take care and see you later. From N4MMW Mobile. Go ahead, Russell.
I am about to destinate over here in Inman, so I'm probably going to slide out of here, gentlemen, but I would like to say 73s, and it was a pleasure talking with you this morning. I'll catch you on the flip side, and I'll be clear on your final.
Access Mobile back in.
4CPA Mobile.
2HXS.
Let's see, Patrick, is that you?
No, sir. Dave.
That, your suffix. Well, I just may have mixed up. Anyway, so how are you doing this morning?
Down here, getting close to Greenville, heading down to Anderson. do a little recording.
Okay, that was much better. If I'd have known that, I could have just hit reverse and probably could have heard you crystal clear on the input. But I was pulling out in traffic, shifting gears. It's kind of hard to do all that at the same time.
I'm down in town here. I'm almost by Pleasantburg. I'm trying to avoid the interstates because I know it's a little crowded this morning. I'll come back to the interstate because it should be done around noon or 1 o'clock.
Tell me again what instruments you play.
I'm primarily a guitar player. I've been known to pick up the bass once in a while. Once in a while, excuse me. But hang on 1 second. Primarily a rhythm guitar player, rhythm and lead. Do a little backup vocal from time to time. That's pretty much it.
That's good. Bass is at least for me. You know, just to play a simple bass line, I can't. Do any fancy stuff on it, but I was watching Paul McCartney in his concert here in Greenville, and I never did realize how much movement that he did on the fretboard on some of the songs. And you know, instead of just playing, you know, like one note for like when everybody was playing a B flat chord, he wouldn't just stay on B flat. He would do some other things with it, and so it was kind of interesting, the whole thing, just to watch him play. Of course, I've seen some videos on Facebook that are just absolutely unreal. This one guy had a little rhythm box going, and he was playing his bass along with the drums, and man, he was just tearing that thing up. He was playing it like a lead guitar. I mean, it was unreal.
Gave you 2HXS for ID. Yeah, that's Paul McCartney is a very, very melodic bass player. He can tear it up pretty good. He's also a very accomplished guitar player, keyboard player. He plays just about everything, and I think he can play most instruments. He can even play the drums. He's even a semi-accomplished drummer, He's a very good instrumentalist. His vocals anymore. I mean, my gosh, he's going to be, what, 79 this next month, I think? 79, June 18th or something. And, man, he's still with it. You know, I don't know how good his vocals are anymore because he's just blown out his vocal cords, but he can play the heck out of those instruments.
I can tell, especially me being a vocalist, and taking voice lessons and all that when I was in college, but you can tell that his voice is weaker than it used to be. But it was amazing. He did a 3-hour concert and no break, and he really the last two songs he had a little trouble. You could tell he was, struggling a little bit on the high notes, but to be honest with you, the rest of the concert I thought was just really great. And would have been better if, 30 years ago, I'm sure it would have, but I still thought he was great, and we had a great time. I think everybody there did. And And we bought these Paul McCartney towels. They're They're like beach towels. They're real long and got his name on it on one side. And I use it in my car. So, like, when I'm getting in the car after a tennis game, I'm soaking wet. I put it on my seat and, you know, to keep from messing up the leather.
Well, I was pretty impressed when he came back out to the road, I think, in 2002 with his new band. He put out that CD back in the U.S., and I was pretty impressed with his vocals, because I think he did the concert for George in 01, and then he, you know, and this is after Linda's passing. I think, you know, he took some time to himself and did some vocal training and gave his vocal cords a rest or whatever. But he is a workaholic. I mean, that's kind of what the general consensus is, especially with his, you know, back in the Beatle days. He was a workaholic. So, but yeah, no, he's. I tell you what, yeah, I'd love to have seen him 20 years ago. It would have been one heck of a concert.
He was when he was with Wings, and I remember. They did an interview with him, and he looked at his wife, Linda, and said, he says, why don't you sing? Why don't you give it a go? And she said, I don't know. But she did, and she started singing with him, and she did some really good backup vocals, and that was really neat. But, yeah, he does... You know, when the Beatles broke up, he came out with that album that has the cherries on it on the front. I think it's black and has the cherries on the front. And he played every instrument in the on the album, and he recorded it on a 16-track recorder in his basement.
Yeah, that was McCartney One. That's got one of my favorite tracks. That's the same album. It's got Maybe I'm Amazed on it. I like that song. I know the guitar part. I know the guitar lead on that one. It's pretty awesome. I'm trying to get the guys to do it, but we don't have a keyboard player.
No, and you know, you were mentioning he did that Back in the USA album. I think when he did Maybe I'm Amazed on that one, and when he does that real high part near the end, he changes that. Let's see, you're the only woman that could ever help me, he went up real high, and I think he did that the best I've ever heard him do it.
Well, I think that's in the falsetto. I don't think that was done in the regular vocals. I think he does it falsetto.
The falsetto. They did a lot of the backup was in falsetto when they were, you know, with the Beatles. But just the way he did it. I mean, he used to be kind of weak on that part. And, I thought he sounded awesome on that, the way he did it and pulled it off. But anyway, doesn't take too much to amaze me. Oh, me. Well, good luck on finding a keyboard player. I'm sure there's plenty of them around. You can find a lot of them. In churches that play in praise bands that might be interested in playing with you.
Right now, I'm looking for one just yet. I put it out to the guys, like, listen, you know, we want to advance ourselves, you know, kind of broaden our music a little bit. We need to get either a horn player or a keyboard player or something, because, you know, two guitars, bass, and drums can only do so much. You know, it's a variety of music. And then even the stuff that we're writing right now, you know, it's we can only take it so far, you know. We only have so many different sounds. I mean, there's a pedal I want to get for my setup. It's made by Hammond, and it gives you kind of that organ sound, and I'd love to get that thing.
of keyboards and synthesizers are amazing. They're what they can do. And when I was at Mars Hill, we used to have this old organ in a practice room, and it was a huge practice room, and because it was a big old console, and it had a Leslie with it. And basically what it is it's a board, round board with speakers on it, and it rotates. When you turn it on, it rotates, and that gives you that Leslie sound. And they used to use that a lot back, you know, like when the Doors were playing and groups like that. And now it's coming back.
It's kind of one of the sounds I'd like to have in the back pocket, that Leslie, B3 Leslie sound. And that's something I'm looking into. You know, the pedal's expensive. It was put out by Hammond a couple of years ago. And I believe I don't know if it's added, discontinued now or something. But I think I saw it on one of the musicians' websites. I think it's like $300 or $400. I'm like, whoa. So I'm going to kind of hold off a little bit, kind of save my pennies for it. Well, they do have synthesizer pedals out there, but I don't know. Something about the Hammond sound is appealing to me.
I don't know if they're still making them, but, you know, the old ones were... I grew up with that in church, and the old C3, and some of them had Leslie's and some of them didn't. And it's a hard sound to replicate, but you know, with electronics nowadays, they can pretty much replicate anything with digital replication. So anyway, I don't know. Some people say you can't beat the original sound, and they may be right. It's just like tubes, you know. Tubes went away for a while in amplifiers, but you know, a lot of guitarists, they want that tube sound, that distortion, it's just a warm sound that evidently they haven't figured out how to replicate digitally.
KP2HXS Mobile. Yeah, the tube sound is really very difficult to replicate. You know, I've had a lot of different distortion and overdrive pedals, and there's nothing like pushing a tube into compression, you know, and get that nice compressed, distorted sound out of the final tubes. That's why, you know, I don't have a Marshall amp to push to 11, because it's just... there's just no way to do it and not go deaf.
Or CBA. Well, I'll tell you what I used to do. I had this old Haynes amp. It had two 12s in it. It was about, I guess, about 50 watts, and I think it weighed about 250 pounds. It took both, when I was a teenager, it took both of my arms to carry it. It had a big handle on it, and I had to grab it, both hands, to pick it up. It was just so dang heavy. And but what I used to do, since I couldn't crank it up to get the distortion I wanted, I took an old we had a cassette recorder, and I rigged me up a plug that would plug. The cassette recorder had an input on it, and of course it had a headphone jack, so I would plug the guitar into the input, plug the output jack, run it to the amp, and then I'd put the cassette player on record and turn record level wide sending a distorted signal into the amp so you could have distortion at low volume levels. So that was my first, this is back in the 70s, so that was my first distortion box.
Interesting concept, because Echoplex made a tape echo. It was a tape loop, and it had tubes in it. To run, I guess, the motor and whatnot and you know, the sound through it. And I know a lot of people use, I know Jimmy Page used a tape echo, an Echoplex or whatever. And I actually had one back in the 80s. I found one in an old music store up on Long Island. And I tell you what, there's nothing like a tape echo. And that would give you a certain amount of compression out of it. You know, you get a little tape compression or something. And I tell you what, it's a way to go.
I was in college. I didn't have any money, and I made $50 a month. I was a paid, if you can believe it, a good old Baptist here, was a paid soloist at the Episcopal Church in Trinity Episcopal in Asheville. I'd drive to Asheville. They would pay me to be there, so that way, in fact, they paid somebody in each part, so they had a strong soprano, alto, tenor, bass, and each part they knew that would be there to carry the, you know, to carry that part. So that was my job, and then, of course, if I had, if there were any bass or baritone solos, I would do them. I did a whole requiem where the entire requiem was baritone solos. So, but it was a real high church thing. It was a little out of my wheelhouse for an old Baptist boy, but you know, heck, it paid. So. That was my spending money when I was in at Morris Hill.
Back then, $50 went a long way. Now it barely fills up my gas tank. Anyway, I got to get out of here. I got to make a quick phone call, and I'm gonna be where I got to be shortly here. So, you have a great afternoon, a great morning, and we'll catch up with you a little bit later.
Good. Well, enjoy your jam session, I guess, and a recording session, and I'm going to play some tennis here. So, have a good one. In fact, I've listened to a lot of our QSO on input. You sound a lot better on the input than you did through the repeater at times. Anyway, HB2HXC, this is KB4CBA, clear after yours.
Okay, KB4CBA, KB2HXS. We'll catch you later. Have a great day.